And so today, as we start this new church year, we are actually focused on this idea of Advent, of something that is coming, something that is coming to us. And as most of you know, the arrival of what we're waiting for is the arrival of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Advent has a word of arrival or presence or coming into or to come. Those are the sort of the ideas of what this word truly means. And so today, as we focus on what this means to enter into Advent, this time of preparation for you and I, the preparation of our Lord and Savior coming to us, this church year actually calls us to not reflect on ourselves. It calls us outside of ourselves and outside of our own pursuits and our own passions as well. See, this church year is what we're going to be focused on this whole liturgical year. And if you're not aware, the year is separated by a full liturgy of what actually is said we should be talking about each Sunday. And Advent starts, it's the time, it's really the start of the church year where we're focused on sort of the 4 weeks or so right before Christmas. And the first half of the church year is all about Christ. It's all about Christ and the church. The second part of it comes, the Holy Spirit is what we're focused on, and how the Holy Spirit works in the disciples. That's really the heart of the second half of the church year. And so Advent directs us to the coming of Christ. Lent directs us to the suffering of Christ. Easter celebrates the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Pentecost directs us to the Holy Spirit. And the long months following Pentecost, we go through the summer and the fall, directing us towards the life that we are called to live as His disciples. In fact, if we've been baptized through the water and the Word, the Holy Spirit is alive in us. And each of us becomes His disciple. So here, Advent, we are just at the beginning of this church year. And the focus at the beginning is to look to the end and truly understand how we need to be prepared for the coming of the kingdom of God. The coming of the kingdom of God. The coming, the Advent of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, today's gospel that we just read actually is preparing us for the day when the Lord will judge the living and the dead. Now, this may seem like a harsh message for us to start the church year on, but we are called to actually understand fully what God's word says, and there will be a day of judgment for all people. Today's gospel shows us that the world seems to be going in a completely normal fashion, that both Christians and unbelievers are living their lives just normally, as if nothing is expected to happen. Everything seems the same. There is eating and drinking, men and women at work, and there seems to be no difference at all. Until suddenly, in our scripture, we hear there's a separation on that day of judgment, a separation that happens. But there was something that was different, though. Some were watching and preparing for the kingdom of God, but yet others were not. Sort of similar to what we see in our world today. But as we start today, we have to understand that we can actually talk almost about three Advents, really. That how do we recognize God's kingdom? How do we know that God's kingdom is coming? Well, God's kingdom comes in two ways. First, God's kingdom comes so that we know it's here by His grace, the grace that He shared with us all. And then on the last day, God's kingdom come with power as there is judgment. And there are two of the three Advents we might talk about and that we think about during the season of Advent. The first Advent was Christ being born in Bethlehem. That's something that we can't really celebrate other than knowing that we celebrated at Christmas as something that happened in the past. We can't experience it fully or prepare for it fully. However, Advent that is coming, the coming of Christ that is going to happen here and now, is what He does for us in this service today. As we hear His word, as we repent of our sins, as we receive His grace and His body and blood that is present here with us today, that is Him coming to us as well today. And something we can hold on to and know it's true and that the kingdom of God is right here. But there is Christ's final advent as well, when He comes in judgment that we need to prepare for. See, in our catechism, the second petition says this. How does God's kingdom come? Well, God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us His Holy Spirit, so that by His grace we believe His holy word and lead godly lives here in time and there in eternity. I mean, those are great words, I think. In other words, what he's saying is God's kingdom of grace is not perceived with our eyes. You can't see it, but God's kingdom is not recognized by our eyes, but by our ears. In this world, we live in and recognize God's kingdom by faith and the faith that we share. By faith, we see that what the world offers is nothing but darkness. Everything the world values, drinking parties, sensuality, gratifying the desires of the flesh, is all called by Paul in our epistle today as the works of darkness. And so the word in Romans that we hear is this: so then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies or drunkenness, not in sexual immorality or sensuality, not in quarreling or jealousy. See, he's pretty clear here on what the expectations of us are. That the opposite is what he calls us to. That God's word tells us the opposite is love. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is truly fulfilling the law, as we heard in the lesson today as well. So the question is, has your life been characterized this way? How has your life been characterized? Have you given yourself over the works of darkness? Has your life demonstrated the love that puts your neighbor ahead of yourself? See, the mystery of Advent is this: that Jesus comes to love you. Precisely you who have not loved, who have not obeyed the commandments, who up to this point have made provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. It's precisely there, in Christ's love, mercy, and forgiveness, that the kingdom of God is truly recognized. And so this Advent, as we pray for what we want to come, as we prepare for Jesus' coming, as we pray for what we want Advent to be like, and as we pray for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the question is this the kingdom that you're praying for? Of what would you prefer the kingdom consist of? I know that my sinful nature and our sinful nature, our sinful selves, tend to desire wealth and riches, prestige and power and comfort, and whatever else brings pleasure to ourself. And as twisted by narcissism in this world, by our self-love, and by our idea of the kingdom of God, that there's somehow this blessing that'll come upon us, this prestige that'll come upon us, and it actually perverts and corrupts the kingdom of God, at least our view of it. Still, for us sinners, the Lord calls us to a kingdom of love and mercy. How does that kingdom come? Well, when Jesus calls himself the Son of Man who comes in judgment, this is the same as the Son of Man whom Jesus says earlier in Matthew's gospel. He says this: that the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day. See, in his cross, Jesus takes our curse upon himself, the curse of death, the removal of God's kingdom, and he buries it. We who take sin lightly imagine that it can be dismissed lightly as well. But that's not true. But our iniquities must be paid for. Our failures in sin must be paid for. And the word must is key. Elsewhere, Jesus uses a strong word must as well. In Luke chapter 9, he says this: the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. This must happen. The Son of Man must suffer and die, must come under the Father's punishment if we are to be restored in God's kingdom at all. And for those who reject and despise God's kingdom and His mercy and judgment come suddenly. Our Lord gives an example in the great flood, in the days of Noah, He says, the unrighteous were not prepared. Being preoccupied with the things of this world, they were not ready for the coming of our Lord, of the world's destruction. And the question is, God wants us to be, so are you ready and prepared? Matthew 24 says this, as were the days of Noah, Jesus said in our text from Matthew, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. In an instant, everything they held so dear was swept away. And there was no time for preparation, no time for repentance, no time for anything. See, we know not when the last hour will come. We have no idea when the last hour will come. Many people have tried to figure this out. Many people point to signs and wonders and say it's getting close. Many people try to predict what that date will be, but none of us know the time or the hour. It can happen at any moment. And the same will be true as we know today that the day of judgment will come when we don't know. See, the activities of Jesus mentioned, it represents all of our cares and pursuits that He mentions in the text. He mentions it there saying, eating and drinking, well, that stands for the pleasures of our life. Marriage stands for relationships with others, and buying and selling and planting and building indicates our possessions as well. Pleasures, people, and possessions that gives to us by God. Those are things that He gives us and we know that we have and can end up driving us away from God at times if we put too much focus on it. This we must beware of, that it does not distract us from the kingdom of God, but instead that we serve and prepare for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. St. Peter says in the second epistle, he says this, if God did not spare the ancient world but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment. Likewise, he says that God made Sodom and Gomorrah an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly in this world. And he says that this is clearly what's going to take place. That then two men will be in a field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one will be left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know what day the Lord is coming. See, this basic is the basic understanding of Scripture. That we should understand that the Lord is coming back and it will happen and that we should be prepared. So how would the Lord prepare us during this Advent season? Well, I think 1 Corinthians, we hear from Paul these words that help tell us. The testimony of Christ was confirmed among you so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, he is saying here that truly we should be using every gift that he gives us and know that every gift that he has and he has given us that we should be using for his kingdom of God right now. And that as we wait for the revealing of Jesus Christ, that it is the Lord and his Spirit that will sustain us. And that because of that, because of our faith and because of the Spirit living in us, that he will look at us on that day, the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he will see us how? Guiltless. Guiltless, free from all sin. perfect, holy, and spotless. What a great day that'll be. Because we know it was something that Jesus did and not what I did. It's all because of what Jesus has done and not because of what I do at all. And we should be aware that in a similar time, Jesus said to remember Lot's wife. Lot's wife looked back, longing for the possessions that were perishing in the sulfur rain down on Sodom. And she herself perished in a pillar of salt. So Jesus is saying to us as well, don't look back. Don't look into this world of darkness. Look only to Christ and his kingdom of mercy and love. Look at Christ who shows you mercy before the judgment comes, and know that he is the salvation and he is the one that is with you. So today, as we go and receive the Lord's Supper, we live in hopeful expectation, longing for the return of Christ, because we will always be with the Lord and we know how great that will be. But we don't have to wait for his presence. The kingdom of God is even here in our midst. He comes to us with all the angels and archangels. His kingdom, not seen by the signs of this world or observed around us. Nevertheless, his presence is here, right in the words that were spoken today. But also, as he says to us, take and eat, take and drink. This is my blood and body that is shed for you, for the remission of sins. See, here, even now, in our very own midst, the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of grace is here, and he comes to you offering his forgiveness, his love, and his grace. So that on that day, no matter when that happens, you and I don't have to worry. Because of what Jesus has done, we will be ushered into his kingdom in perfect joy, peace, and happiness in a place that is beyond anything that I could ever imagine. So today, prepare, yes, but do not despair. Prepare, yes, for the coming of our Savior, but don't despair, because we know that Jesus is with you and that through faith we are ushered into his kingdom whenever that day happens in perfect joy, peace, and happiness. So join me as he invites us to come to his table. It is just a glorious thing that we can know that Christ's presence is right here with us. That because we know that this truly is his body and blood, that we know that Christ is here as well as his Spirit with us as well. And today, as he comes to us, we also come to him knowing that we don't live a life that is perfect. That we needed his sacrifice on the cross for you and for me, because we don't live a perfect life. And because we do make mistakes. And so as we understand that, we come to him now and confess our faith together so that we can receive the forgiveness he offers here. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and asking for your grace, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us and has given us his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in his name, he gives the power to become children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As a called and ordained servant of the Word and by his commandment, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we come to his table, we ask ourselves three questions.